Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon takes us through the gospel lesson. Please especially remember these verses. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? That's our text. Today's scripture teaches us about God's wrath against sin and about the atonement Christ won on the cross to spare you from it. First, on the way to the cross, Jesus teaches that his suffering is not cause for weeping. Our sins and the judgment that they deserve are. God's wrath is a consuming fire, and it burns away sinners like so much dry wood. If anyone is to escape the final judgment, they need to be covered from it. And second, that is why Jesus willingly, deliberately walked the road to the cross, so that from there he could cover your sins and intercede for you before his Father in heaven. And finally, to those who are given to know the depth of their sin and that it truly deserves death and hell, they are given this gospel. To those who come to Jesus for salvation, they will not die in their sins, but will be with him forever in paradise. Already battered and bloody, Jesus says on his way to the cross, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." He is speaking at this time to women who are mourning his suffering there. Nevertheless, the teaching remains today. Jesus does not need our sympathy. Jesus does not need our tears. That is not why he suffered. That is not why he died. He knew full well what would happen to him before he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, before he let Judas betray him into the hands of sinful men. He knew what it would mean when he stood before the Sanhedrin and gave no defense to their false accusations, when he stood before Pilate and did not recognize his authority. Jesus was a victim, but he was not a helpless victim. He was a willing sacrifice. He did not die for your sympathy. He died for you. Jesus does not need your tears. Nevertheless, he teaches, there are others who do need your tears and need them very badly. You, yourselves, and your children. Sinners are to weep for themselves and for their sins. They are to sob like Peter, who thrice denied Christ before he looked him in the eye again and broke down, that their tears may lead them to something that is worthwhile, a sincere regret for their trespasses, and a full knowledge of what they deserve. God does not require your sympathy. He requires your repentance, your sorrow for your sins. Psalm 51 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." It is on account of your sins, your parents' sins, your children's sins, the sins of the whole world, that the judgment of God's wrath is coming upon the earth. God is love. He is love. And because he is love, he hates every false way, every broken commandment, every work of the flesh that defiles others and defiles his creation. So it is that Jesus wept for Jerusalem before entering her, knowing the city was going to suffer judgment for their sins and for what they were going to do to him, God's only Son. He wept for them, for their sins, and said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." The wrath of God is coming to judge all sin. This is most certainly true. And that is why Jesus went to the cross, to gather you under his wings, to cover you and protect you from that wrath. When the wrath of God comes, it will be so terrible for sinners to face that they will begin to say to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." They would rather be buried under a pile of rubble than have to face directly the wrath of God. But there is only one hiding place, and it is the man, Jesus Christ. He so loved the world that he called it to repentance. That is, he called it to himself, so that all may hide in the shadow of his cross and find cover there. Just as one may find cover and safety from the scorching sun by standing under the shade of a tree, Jesus is lifted up on the tree of the cross, suffering on his body the scorching wrath of God, and in so doing creating, if you will, a shadow of safety under its branches, under his outstretched arms. Atonement means to be covered. And Jesus made atonement on the cross for your sins, so that now, even now, there is no condemnation for those who are found in him. But even as you are given shade to hide in the shadow of his wings, you remember that he has borne this wrath on his body. And if the Almighty, perfect, and just God did not spare his only begotten Son, but gave himself up for all, what do you suppose he will do on that day to his enemies who reject the sacrifice he made for them, that he sent for them? As Jesus puts it, if such wrath is poured out when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Jesus, the green wood, suffered this baptism of fire on the cross, died, and yet he lives. What will happen when those who remain dead in their trespasses, the chaff, the dry wood, when that fire comes upon the earth? If Jesus must suffer as he does, sinless as he is and bearing only the sin of others, what will they have to suffer who sin until the judgment and reject the salvation God offers to them in the atoning sacrifice of his Son? Jesus warns elsewhere, "Their worm will never die, and the fire will not be quenched." Now, someone might say this is all too much fire and brimstone. And that may be true. That may be true. But this is also true. And when you search the scriptures, the testimony is clear that this is what will take place. And Jesus, as he willingly walks to the cross, about to face that very same wrath and agony, he is not thinking of himself. He is thinking of you. He loves you and all people. And so he warns you of the wrath to come. He wants you to know that you need to take cover, that your sin needs to be atoned for. That is why he goes to the cross. And this is not doom and gloom, but truly good news, a message of cheer. Even though this wrath is coming, you have a place of certain and sure refuge in him. And he is the only refuge you need. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We do not have a high priest, an intercessor, a mediator, someone who stands in for us. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet is without sin." Jesus suffered the full extent of the world's rage and offense. He was innocent and yet was numbered with the transgressors. He was nailed to a cross and stripped naked before people who stood by gawking at his humiliation. He was mocked and ridiculed. He was taunted, and he was tempted to save himself, and he resisted it all. Whatever you have suffered in this life is suffering, to be sure. But never forget that your Lord and Savior has suffered that and more. But unlike you, he never did wrong. He never did wrong. As a righteous and innocent servant of God, he is your high priest. Lifted up in agony on the cross, he still there prays for you. You know, the scriptures are clear. God does not listen to the prayers of the unrighteous. But the perfect Lamb of God pleads for you. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he hears your prayers and delivers them perfectly to his Father. Jesus says, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you." And he did that. He did not come to condemn the world when he went to the cross. He came to save it. He did not come at that time to smite his enemies, but to bring news of peace by the blood of his cross. Now, what is plainly taught to us today and laid out before us in clear and stark depiction of Jesus' crucifixion is his perfection, the perfect innocence of Christ set against the utter corruption and guilt of mankind. And though he is innocent, he was crucified between two criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And one of the criminals is a model of unbelief. This criminal does not fear the wrath of God. He does not believe in justice or a final judgment. Or if he does, it does not concern him. He only looks to this world, his present suffering, and resonating with rulers and the soldiers, says to Jesus, "Are you not the Christ? Then save yourself and us." But the other criminal, by faith, sees things as they truly are. And he rebukes the other, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." This is a perfect confession of sins. And it is likened unto what we confess every Sunday. Not only that we are sinners, but that our sin deserves punishment. They deserve death and hell. They deserve the wrath of God, and we are without excuse. And yet this is the faith of this man. After he confesses his sins, and that they deserve whatever he suffers and more, he still, in faith, turns to Jesus with this humble request. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Pilate put an inscription on the cross, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." He meant it as a joke, or else as a warning. But this criminal believed it, and it is true. Christ is our King, and that means he has a kingdom. But his kingdom is not of this world. It is of the world to come. And he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise," the kingdom to come. Today's scripture teaches us about God's wrath against sin and the atonement Christ won on the cross to cover us from it. Jesus teaches that his suffering is not cause for weeping. Rather, it is our sins and the judgment they deserve that need our tears. He teaches that from the cross, he covers your sins from that judgment, and he intercedes for you before his Father in heaven. And to you, who are given to know the depths of your sin and that it deserves death and hell, you are given the gospel. To those who come to Jesus for salvation, he will not turn away. They will not die in their sins, but he will say to you, "Today you will be with me in paradise." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We turn now to page 158 in our hymnal as we confess the Nicene Creed, page 158.